expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
September 13th, 2020. And my name is Mark Kent, and I'm your host once again for Sovereign Mind Radio. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, target-rich environment, and the crazy's getting crazier. We've stepped out of the Twilight Zone into Crazy Town.
Man. Is it Crazy Town into the Twilight Zone?
Crazyville, City of Crazy, I don't know. It is crazy out there. Insane is probably a better moniker. So I don't know. I mean, what do you do out there? I mean, there's so much to talk about that the mainstream media just seems to, completely avoid. And Biden's okay. He's got all of his faculties, and the Democrats they're right about everything, and Trump's the evil bad orange man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of this is going to become a lot clearer today with some of the things I have to share. This is, oh man.
Well, crazy is how the how we're the mainstream media. What can you say? With that, I mean I kind of figured that I better introduce everybody before I go any farther, I guess. Unless they probably know who we are, so maybe we.
You think?
Yeah.
Well, good morning to all. Good morning to Sue. Good morning to David.
Good morning.
I got to write Sue's thing up, so but then I might have to switch it to David. So who knows what's going on? I'm here in the great state of Jefferson with a ball of endless energy. An immovable object, an unstoppable force of nature who does all the heavy lifting, my sister Linda.
Good morning.
And our other team member, the kid who rocks around the clock faster than a speeding internet connection with more powerful than a high-speed download, Cyber Dave Johnson.
Amen to that.
And last but not least, our trusted producer, soundboard operator, all-around great gal, and she might not be a seventh Dan Ninja Warrior Panic Button Master, but I think she's in the top tier.
Thank you.
Happy Sue.
Thank you. Love the show.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Uh-huh. Should we talk about our sponsors a little bit?
Well, we could. Which one? We can start with Pearson Construction.
There you go.
That's all I've got. I've got a phone number. You have the card. If you need any construction done, I believe they do both residential and commercial. I'm not positive.
It's Rural Land Development, Custom Home and Excavation. Luke Pearson, owner, operator, general contractor, and you can reach him at 530-605-9575. He's licensed and bonded, and he does a great work. He's a great guy, and I highly suggest that if you've got something that you need built or cleared off or excavated on, call Luke Pearson.
All right, we have North State House Buyers. They will buy houses in any condition in Redding, Shasta Lake, Anderson, and Cottonwood, and all surrounding areas.
Oh.
Yeah. They don't charge a commission fee and no obligations. They've been in the real estate business for 30 years, and they're locally owned, and they do commercial and residential. Give them a call if you want, 530-364-4787.
Well, there you have it. Anything else? Any more announcements? Any other thing we got to worry
about? Well, of course, we have Northern Roots. We just they have helped out. They sponsor us, and that's all the information I have with them, and they're great folks, so we'll leave it at that. We do have another sponsor coming probably next week, a locally owned business that's been in business for a year, so we want to get their information and get them out. If you would like to be a sponsor, give us a call at 530-221-0101, and we can work something out for you.
Yeah, I need a sponsor. I was going to go out for a basketball scholarship, you know?
White men don't jump. Just saying.
White men can't jump.
It depends on the white man. Don't jump too far.
Yeah, white man can roll. Rounds of shape. What are you talking about?
It is a shame.
Oh, boy. Well, again, I'm going to depend a little bit on Dave. He's setting up right now. I'm sure he has a story that's going to rock us around the
clock. Oh, we have a few.
Shock
us. You know. And,
yeah, we were talking before the program. There are some pretty dark things going on.
It is incredibly dark, a lot of the things that are going on. And I want to go ahead and get a lot of these things organized first so I can give it to you. The first thing that I can go ahead and throw out there that's just going to blow all your minds is a transsexual Satanist anarchist wins GOP nomination for sheriff in New Hampshire.
Okay, hold on a second. A transsexual Satanist
anarchist.
Anarchist is, gosh.
GOP nomination. The slogan that she was running on is F the police was the slogan for the sheriff.
I thought it would be something like Workers of the World Unite.
Area Dimezio.
Sorry.
Too late to mute that one out.
Ran on the campaign slogan, F the police, and says that she had expected to lose to a written-in candidate, won the nomination for Cheshire County Sheriff on Tuesday. The victory was first reported by inside sources. On Friday's blog post, Dimezio said she opposes a system that allowed hundreds of people to walk into a voting booth and vote despite knowing absolutely nothing about the person they were nominating for the most powerful law enforcement position within the county. I'm running for sheriff because I oppose that very system, and the sheriff has the most hands-on ability in Cheshire County to oppose that system, she said. The system let you down by allowing me, the freaking transsexual Satanist anarchist, to be your sheriff candidate in the same system I'm attacking. I'm sorry, I know it hurts to hear, but the system is a lie. This is literally where we're at in this country.
Wow. I mean, when do we start sacrificing the goats, you know? I mean,
Depending
I'm
on
speechless,
how,
and that's pretty unusual.
Depending on how political elite you are, you actually may have already been doing some of that. Not going to name any names. Hillary.
Well, I mean, I've been saying for years, Hillary's probably. Here's the thing: you don't have to believe in God. You don't have to believe in Satan. The question is, what do they believe in? You know. And, I mean, the fact that, you know, Chelsea wishes the Church of Satan, and you can Google this and check it out on Snoops.
Well, she's probably friends with this.
You know, wishes them Happy New Year, wearing upside-down crosses. I mean, that's just all normal stuff, right?
Well, you ought to see a picture of this. What's her name? Aria? it's right along the same lines. Yeah, it's like, whoa.
Yeah, I mean, it's Aria Dimezio. And it...
I'm gonna Google it. Aria, is it spelled A R I A?
Yes. I don't know.
D I M E Z Z O. But no, I mean this is where we're at now. To be fair, basically she ran on the Republican ticket, and you had a sheriff. She was the incumbent against the sheriff that had already won a previous five times. So it just shows the debased nature of that city, who had elected a Democratic sheriff, and the only person they wanted for a Republican was a trans Satanist anarchist that wants to literally destroy the system.
I mean, I'm looking. I just Googled her real quick.
I told you.
And looked this up, and it says, Aria Dimezio mocks Republicans by winning the nomination for sheriff, and five things that we need to know about her. Okay, she's a... I mean, five things. She was she's a transgender woman who grew up in Mississippi. I'm sure that's going to have a lot of bearing on politics. Yeah. I'm not sure if it's the Mississippi part or the transgender part, that I need to know. She's a self-proclaimed anarchist.
Yep.
She's involved with the Church of Satan. I mean, I guess going around dressed up like a pentagram is a problem. And I guess we have to go to our first break.
Oh wait.
Yeah, we'll come
Are
back
we going to finish the five?
Well, DiMaggio has written two books. So that's something I need to know.
Yeah.
And she looks something like Marilyn Manson with hair color.
Yeah. And with that, you're listening to KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
See it all around you.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. We bring you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites.
You'll hear from experts on national security, the environment, veterans affairs, world politics, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your John Deere Ag and Turf products.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. wethepeopleradio.us.
This is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Yeah, well, might be the only one. KCNR, 1460 AM, 96.5 FM, your talk radio. We're here in the studio again. It's Sunday morning, and let's start stirring up something. Let's agitate a little bit here. What do we got on this sheriff thing?
So, not the sheriff thing. We're already kind of past the sheriff.
Oh, yeah. We're past the sheriff thing.
Come on, work with us.
Come on. Oh, so we're still talking about the area DiMaggio. You want to keep going with that? Or?
No, we're going darker.
We're going a lot darker. So first, before we go super dark, we're already going to go dark. But there were two Los Angeles police officers who were shot in an ambush yesterday. Basically, somebody just walked up to the passenger window and fired in, shooting two police officers in the head. And then you had Black Lives Matter advocates and otherwise who were out there walking the streets trying to berate them in the hospital, calling them pigs and saying, "We're going to get you and take you out one by one." and otherwise, but that's where we're at right now in the country. And you have two officers. I can't even imagine right now what it would be like for an officer in this country with people literally gunning to kill you just because you're out there doing your job protecting the people.
I guess both officers are critical but alive. And I'm looking at the pictures of this, and
I thought one died.
No, it says according to this they're both alive, and unless this, maybe it's happened.
Yeah. Okay.
But that's and this is posted pretty early. So it also what it says here is that the shooter is very short. If it's not a child, he barely came up to the top of the squad car. So if it's not a young person, then the guy might be a vertically challenged guy. I don't know. But this is coming out of the LA Sheriff's tweet, and it says one male deputy and one female deputy were ambushed in their, as they sat in a patrol car, both sustained multiple gunshot wounds and are in critical condition. They're both undergoing surgery, and the suspect is still at large.
And they blocked the entrance to the hospital, these rioters, whatever you want to call them. I have to be somewhat nice, I guess.
Well, so they were there. That was one instance to where they had blocked the entrance to the hospital. But you also had them come back later on saying how they were going to go in there and check on the officers and make sure that they were not recovering. And otherwise, it's kind of the way that the video was played out. And they roll up on this area, and the officers outside actually stopped them from coming in the building because they wanted to know who they were. And they said, hey, there's no visiting here. There's none of this going on. And they're like, well, we're here because we're sick. When he's on live video just a minute ago saying we're going to go in and basically raise hell for where these officers just got shot. And
well, I just got this new thing that just came on that says that it was the video was taken from a fisheye lens, which distorts the suspect's height. So that's not necessarily carved in stone either. He could be bigger than we're thinking on the shooters. So.
Interesting.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, a lot of this gets back to what's been taking place within our country. And last week we had Rebecca Friedrichs, who was on, who shared with us a little bit about what was going on within the school system. And recently we had a video that was done on the second part. It was part two called Brainwashed from Glenn Beck, and he has it on YouTube still. But interestingly enough, it was removed from Facebook because what he showed in it actually violated the terms and conditions of Facebook. And what he showed in it was just what your children are being showed. And he actually had to blur portions of it out because if he aired it, he could be arrested for child pornography.
But they show this in the schools, and I found out they classify it under academic art.
Yep.
And what's the name of it?
Well, this is the sex education piece that they're teaching the kids in school.
It's under health something, too.
Yeah, and it goes under several titles.
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing is they kind of disguise these things under different titles, science or something that you wouldn't suspect that it's not under, sex education.
But that term is so that they can't be picked up or arrested for pornography because it's considered art.
Sounds like the new movie Cuties that's out.
Well, this is actually where I wanted to go with this, because we literally have trending right now, cancel Netflix and cancel Cuties and all of this that's on Twitter, and you don't even have a clue of what's going on in your school system. It's so much worse than Cuties. Cuties is just the imagination run wild for these people that are already teaching your children this smut in school. And I encourage every parent out there to go watch it, to see it. I mean, they're encouraging kids to do mutual masturbation to each other, who are children. They're sending them pornography while they're at home. They're saying, oh, during COVID, you have to be able to take care of yourself. So watch some porn or talk with these sex people and talk with these individuals that are going to teach you how to use sex toys and things like that to your 11-year-old.
Well, they're even going younger than that. I mean, they're teaching in school at that age.
Oh, yeah.
But their purpose, they're starting with infants.
Yeah. Well, and
their thought process is with infants forward, that there's no problem with
Their process on it is that children are sexual creatures, and from infants they are sexual and should be told to teach themselves to masturbate and to touch themselves and things like that. Infants. And this is what it's coming down to is you have – in my research when I was going through, there is this book. I encourage everybody to read this book. It is called The Devil and Karl Marx. And once you actually start getting through it, I mean, it's very, very dark stuff from a very, very dark guy. And Karl Marx, when you go through and you read some of the stuff that he wrote, not just his Communist Manifesto, which ends up, when you look at communism, self-defined, anybody that asks about socialism and communism, the definition of it really can be broken down to the abolition of private property. And your abolition of private property, it is so un-American, socialism and communism, that it violates every single one of your rights, and it also violates your moral rights. We have these negative rights, which are our rights against the government. Communism and socialism violate those in the very definition of them.
Well, the reason that that's so important to understand property rights is because if you don't have the right to private property, then who does? Who does have the right to own the property? And it always ends up in the hands of the government cronies, which means that is money property? Yes. Is real estate property? Yes. Is food property? Yes. But when you get cut, what it comes down to at the end of the day, the reason it's so important is the government controls everything. Private property is freedom.
Well, and I want to go spiritual with this a bit, because this is an aspect and an avenue that people are not talking about. We have the Ten Commandments, and Marxism and the way he talks and the way he writes and his Communist Manifesto, it manages to violate literally every single one of the precepts of the Ten Commandments. First and foremost, thou shalt not steal. When you take somebody's private property, there is an assumption to private property within the Bible just with the idea of thou shalt not steal. That means you have something. You go through, and the next one is, thou shalt not covet. Okay, well, you want what I have, you're breaking that one. How about the fact that in schools they're turning around and teaching kids that, oh, your parents are stupid and racist. Honor your father and mother. Remember the Sabbath, all the rest of it. You go through and you look at these things and the principles of Marxism. Marxism and communism does not allow for religion, with the exception of useful idiots who are going in and infiltrating these religious institutions. And that's one of the things I'm going to get to. As of 1953, there was sworn testimony before the House on a Communist Party member who had worked for the unions and the workers' unions, the labor unions, who actually came out and told them what was taking place. And it is beyond scary. I listened to it thinking that this has to be a scary novel that's probably in the horror section. And then you come to find out it's reality, and this is what we're living, and this is where we're at. We'll read a bit of that, but first we have a caller on the line.
We do. We've got Ron on the line. Good morning, Ron.
Yes, good morning. I heard your program last week, and I'm curious, is there any schools in the Reading area, or the Shasta County, I guess, that are teaching this crazy sexual thing? And if so, how many are teaching it? So anyhow, I'll take my answer on the air, and I thank you for your program again.
Absolutely.
All right, thanks for calling in.
Here's the thing. This crazy sexualization of our children is already being taught, mandated by law, in the public schools for 26 states. It's already in certain places that don't even have it. They're actually set to vote on it this week in Texas, and if I'm not mistaken, I believe it passed in Texas. And then aside from that, it was already being taught in Austin. So you have these condom relay races to where you have fully erect models of physical penises that look like real things that they're having in mixed company to put on condoms and make it a fun game to where you play these as much as possible. They're teaching kids mutual masturbation, telling them, hey, masturbate each other. It'll feel good. And so you have these things that are taking place, but it's already all throughout our state, and it's even within the private systems and the private schools because they get government-funded grant monies to be able to do it. It's like the whole transgender shot thing to where they're given $19,000 to doctors who are ending up giving these children who are only 4 or 5 years old puberty blockers so that they can be able to transition easily when they're 18. At what age? At 4 years old, do you honestly know these things? And I would say, no, you don't. That's it. It's morally wrong to go through, and it's irreprehensible to see the amount of death rate that takes place for these children that grow up in this community where they're confused from basically the time of schooling onward. And you see death rates and suicide rates within these individuals that's higher than Holocaust victims. You're not going to sit here and tell me that that's actually taking place from bullying and otherwise. I don't see a lot of people that are saying, oh, go do this, go do that, and being mean to all these trans people. In fact, in my experience, I don't care one way or another. I don't feel like I should have to say anything that's against my beliefs, but you do you, as long as you're an adult. But if you have a four-year-old child that you're literally injecting with puberty blockers, and we have no scientific evidence to say what that is, what happened to first do no harm? And with that, we've got to go to a break.
Yeah, we do. If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Reading.
I'm Lee Hull.
And I'm Lee Esses.
And we co-host Writing Room.
It's a 10-minute podcast in which we, an author,
and her editor,
cover lessons we've learned about the writing process.
Writing Roots is available on iTunes, Spotify, and anywhere you find your podcasts. And don't forget to always
write selfishly.
Hey, Linda, show's over. Let's hop in the truck and head over to Country Kitchen for breakfast.
Oh, yeah. Country Kitchen is open for that in-dining experience for breakfast and lunch 7 days a week from 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. And Country Kitchen has their own in-house bakery, everything home-cooked with the freshest ingredients. Can I hear yum?
You can hear cinnamon rolls. Country Kitchen, locally owned for 27 years, located on Hilltop Drive in the Hillcrest Shopping Center.
Let's go.
This is Carl Bott and Dr. Paul DeNuca. During the Civil War, Abe Lincoln said, a house divided against itself cannot stand.
We can get through difficult times if we pull together as a country and a community. What can you do? We invite you to join a grassroots effort to unite our community through blood donations on September 11th, the National Day of Service and Remembrance. We already have 17 organizations committed to raise at least 170 blood donations. One blood donation saves three lives and raises the spirit of the donor. We need you to lift our community up.
Find us on Facebook at the event page, Equality, Unity, and Love, or call Vitalant at 243-0160 to make an appointment. Remember, September 11th, the National Day of Service. Call Vitalant at 243-0160 and make a difference.
We are all in this together.
Sovereign Mind Radio, home of the Free Fire Media, community radio for the North State.
Hey, I just want to get it out there. If there's any teachers or anybody that's in the education system that knows some of the material that is coming through on the sex education, call in, or if you want to come in and talk sometime. We don't have to divulge who you are if you don't want to, but we know that it's mandated in California to teach this, but we're trying to get our hands on more information exactly how it's being introduced to the kids in Shasta County and you know, what schools are doing what. So if you could, you know, get in contact with us. That would be
this is
great.
The thing, too. We have to start taking an active participation within the education system of our children because it's been infiltrated. And this is one of the things that I'm going to get into today. And, in fact, let's go ahead and do that right now.
We do have a caller. Do we want to do that first? Or
yeah, let's
do you
go ahead and take Nick first.
All right. Good morning, Nick.
Hey, thanks for getting me on first because this is a subject you just got past. You were talking about police brutality, and that guy came up and shot those two guys in Los Angeles in the head. And I wanted to bring to your attention that tonight there is, and I'm reading this, grassroots social justice group holds protest against brutality in Reading tonight. Marchers are being asked to bring skateboards in tribute to Anthony Huber, an unarmed man who died in Kenosha. Let's see. It says, bring masks, a friend, and a sign. And I'll tell you what. I am so frustrated at these people that want to stir up a pot here in Reading when I don't believe we have a police brutality program. In fact, I have a lot of respect for our police. I think the last thing they resort to is brutality.
We don't have a problem like that, and this is one of the things that we're getting into, and one of the things that we're seeing is that in 2019, there was 9 unarmed black men in a nation of 340 million people across this great nation. And what we're seeing take place right now is we're seeing a systematic overthrow of our government in general. They do not care about police brutality. They care about looting and burning our system to the ground, and that is exactly what the Communist Manifesto was looking to do back in 1953. So that'll actually be a great segue into this next portion right here.
I think they're trying, but I don't think they're succeeding.
And I don't like it.
I think they're trying, Nick, but I don't think they're succeeding. There's a lot more show than go here, in my opinion. Obviously, they're burning out some of these big cities, and obviously, there's a problem. But, you know, you get some real military in there, and these guys are gone in, like, you know, hours, if not
seconds. Well, are we going to expect some real military, militia tonight? Are we going to expect maybe BLM and Antifa are driving through in their buses to see if there's a place to stop?
Well, I don't know. I guess we'll find out. Maybe there's some people out there listening to the program, and we'll see. You know, like I agree with you, Nick. There's no police brutality problem here. You know, the only time you're going to see police brutality in Reading is if you're resisting arrest, and you know,
and that doesn't matter who you are.
They're trying to make that. They're trying to nullify that. That's what this whole thing is about. By getting rid of the police, then there's nobody there except the military and us citizens, I guess. And that's going to happen at some point, too, if they keep pushing the envelope, is the citizens are going to come out and they're going to say, hey, this is a problem. We're not going to put up with this.
Well, let's look at what took place recently. There was actually a police officer that was trying to arrest a black man, and he started getting the crud beat out of him. The black man ended up throwing him to the ground and started getting on top of him and the crud out of him.
That guy looked like he shouldn't be arresting anybody, though. He looked like the guy in that cartoon on My Dad or something.
More importantly, though, the black members of the community, they stepped up and started defending this officer.
Yes. Yes.
And they beat the crud out of this guy. I mean, you want to see police brutality. I mean, that was a throwdown.
And that's kind of my point, is that even in the black community, they're starting to realize that these guys need to be quelled and put down.
The truth of the matter is that what we are seeing is a carefully narrated story to try to gain support for the socialist communist agenda.
I agree with that.
And when you're saying that it's not a big problem, I disagree.
I didn't say it's a big problem. I said that it's not nearly as big a problem as they're making it out to be because they're getting media, they're getting attention. You know, if you took away all the media that was on this thing and you actually started tackling the problem, just like the feds going into Seattle, and they had these guys under control in an hour. That's the problem, is nobody's controlling them, and they just keep going off the deep end, is what I'm saying. It's a big problem.
The problem is more deep-seated.
I believe that the police, they depend on the police to protect them also. I believe that if the police weren't there, they would get their rear ends kicked and they wouldn't.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, well, the studies have shown already that the black communities, they want police officers. They want more police officers. In fact, the issue in black communities is the fact that police take so long to get there. And with what we're seeing right now with this virtue signaling from the media and otherwise from these socialist communist party members who are in the media, I'm just going to keep calling it exactly what it is. And what
see,
we're
And what I'm saying is this, is don't misunderstand me, then we'll go to the caller, is that most of the guys that are in Antifa are white, rich kids that don't even know what they're doing. Now, there's a dangerous element of the leadership across the board, but there are not that many in relationship to the numbers that could put these guys down with the police departments, with the National Guard. These guys are really not a big problem if someone would go in and try to solve it.
And with that, we need to go to our caller. We'll bring him in this conversation. We got Ben on the line. Good morning, Ben. You there, Ben?
Yes, Ben, you're on the air.
I was just touching on part of your conversation earlier and kind of just wanted to get your conversation on the validity of this California bill reducing consequences for sex with a minor that's been signed into law. And with that, I'll take the conversation off the air.
All right. Thanks for calling in.
Thanks for calling. We appreciate it.
Well, I mean, my take on this is that it reduces the penalties and doesn't put them as registered sex offenders, which basically puts a stamp of approval. And it's 14 to 17 year olds is my understanding. I haven't read the bill, but it legitimizes sex with underage kids from 17 to 14 by people who are at least, you know, are 10 years older than them, which is like, what are you talking about? I mean, this is...
That's correct. So basically you could have a relationship, you could have a 24-year-old that's having a relationship with a 14-year-old, and it decriminalizes both oral and anal sex, because formerly there was a bill that was already out there that did that for straight couples. You had people that were across that, but even that was sick and twisted and demented when that came through, and so now they're saying, oh, well, we need to make it even, so we need to go ahead and do this for this as well. And so,
well, they're trying to normalize everything with that, and going back to the sex education and stuff.
And that tells you, in my opinion, where the huge problem is, where the biggest problem is in our government and the politicians that are sanctioning this stuff for their own ends, power grabs, whatever, demoralizing people, and also, taking away the moral values and the moral system that we have been using a Christian Judeo values for hundreds of years. Because once you take that away, people are easily controlled and they are easily manipulated, and you get away their private property from them, and that's where this all goes. That's why they do it. And if you look farther into, you know, the leadership at the different levels, when you start going, let's take a look at Bill Clinton and Hillary, and they're in cahoots with Jeffrey Epstein, and there's so much evidence that they're a bunch of Satan worshippers, it doesn't even matter what we believe, that's the leadership that is then trickling down to all these people and giving them the okay and giving them the green light to do this stuff. We got to get rid of those guys, and then the rest of it will fall in line.
All right, so I've been teasing this long enough now, so let's go ahead and get into this real quick. This is sworn testimony, and it is from Dr. Dodd, who was a lawyer, union activist, member of the U.S. Communist Party from 1932 to 1949, rising in its ranks through the National Committee until 1949, when she was expelled during an internal purge of the party. So some of the things that she goes over in this is the communist objectives are to create strife between labor and management within the labor group itself, to cause people to be suspicious and distrustful of the government and law enforcement agencies thereof, to make them dissatisfied with the American way of life, particularly its economic system, to create doubts concerning their religious teachings, to set class against class, minorities against majorities, and even minorities against other minorities when it suits their purpose. So right here, I'm going to read you an excerpt of this. This is from the sworn testimony before the House, and this is Mr. Kunzik asking her questions. Mr. Kunzik, do they fight back my methods of fear, and if so, will you explain how that's done? Dr. Dodd, anyone who opposes the communist line, anyone who is going to hurt them in any way, is bound to get the full impact of the attacks of the communists plus all of their friends. The attack is always in high-sounding words. The congressional committees in the United States government become the agencies of fascists, and therefore everyone is asked to organize against the agents of fascism. Mr. Kunzik, you mean that is what the communists say? Dr. Dodd, that is what the communists say. Mr. Schuler is asking this question. That is mild, doctor. Anyone who opposes them is called a fascist or American firster, Dr. Dodd, or becomes a McCarronet or a McKythenet, Let me assure you, these are just general smear words. They are emotional words, and they are words which have no definition. First, you create a sense of fear and hatred, and then you apply this to everyone against you. The communists do have representation in practically every key area in America. How do they promote this resolution? First, they will get someone to make a statement. They will get a communist, not known as a communist. Take a person, let's say, who is outstanding religious fields or educational fields. He will write, Mr. Kunzik, you mean a communist outstanding in a religious field? Dr. Dodd might be. One of the things, too, in this testimony, she said that she personally had recruited 1,100 individuals who were atheists and homosexual atheists to go into seminary, to go into the Catholics, Protestants, and Presbyterian churches where they had the most success, and they were actually Communist Party members that were trained in communism and Marxism to bring about the downfall of our country and bring it about to communism. We got to go to a break. We'll take this up right afterwards, and I'll finish this.
If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
After all your world of steel, oh, I must have been a dreamer.
Turtle Bay Exploration Park is open for safe, outdoor fun, play, and discovery. With towering playgrounds, exciting animal shows, our unique parrot playhouse, interactive games, and more, a day at Paul Bunyan's Forest Camp is sure to keep the whole family entertained. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family-owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Hi, I'm Arielle Winter. If you're anything like me, your pets are not only your best friends, they're part of your family. American Humane, which has been rescuing animals like Cleo here for more than 100 years, has life-saving tips that can make a big difference before, during, and after disasters such as hurricanes, tornadoes, floods, or wildfires. So when disaster strikes, you want to be prepared to protect them. Be sure to microchip or tag your pets. Never leave them behind in a major crisis, and be sure to have an emergency kit ready in your home at all times with a pet crate or carrier, leash, blanket, ID, and medications, their water bowl, and 7 to 10 days worth of food. To find out how to protect your entire family during a disaster and help our best friends in their worst times, please visit AmericanHumane.org.
Join Turtle Bay and Dutch Bros Coffee on Thursday, September 17th for Caffeinate for a Cause. From 7 to 9 a.m. to 2 to 4 p.m., $1 from all drink sales and tips given to our honorary baristas goes directly to supporting Turtle Bay's educational programming. To learn more or donate online, visit turtlebay.org.
And welcome back.
And many times her eyes fought back the tears. And when her youthful world was about to fall in, each time her slender shoulders bore the weight of all her fears and a sorrow. In her ears,
Sovereign Mind Radio, home of the Free Fire Media Community Radio for the North State. That's an oldie, but a goodie.
Just a little.
Where are we at, Dave?
All right. Well, I'm going to go ahead and try to finish this up real quick, and then we'll get on to some other things real quick here. But before, when we went to break, we were discussing this this case from it was 1953, where we had sworn testimony, and I'll just read this last piece right here. Mr. Kunzik, you mean a communist outstanding in the religious field. Dr. Dodd might be. Mr. Clardy, you say you're one not known as a communist. Dr. Dodd, an outstanding professor not known as a communist. He has two or three others that will then get a telegram saying, we are opposed to the investigation of this committee. It promotes the interest of the McCarthyites, and so on and so forth. And then the telegram is sent to, let's say, 1,000 other people. They have a list, and I have had one myself, a list of ministers, doctors, lawyers, and others. You mean the lists are party headquarters? Lists are in party headquarters of some of the front committees which they have established. Are you talking about a list of committees or list of communists or non-communists? There will be a list of both non-communists and communists, predominantly non-communists, but they can use from time to time to respond to various causes. People you mean who are occupying positions of some importance so that their ideas will carry weight. Dr. Dodd, that's right. So then I'll go to this story right here. This story is as of yesterday. Rhode Island University professor defends Antifa gunman who killed a Trump supporter by saying there's nothing wrong with it from a moral perspective because he was a fascist.
Let me interject something in here too as well that feathers into what we're talking about. George Soros funds Jesuit NGOs with $1.7 million. Now, this is the Vatican journalism. A Vatican journalist revealed that three Jesuit charities close to Pope Francis have received more than $1.7 million in recent years from George Soros' Open Society Foundations. So the reason I'm bringing this up is it feathers into what you're saying as far as, you know, putting people in the spots of that are going to have an effect and controlling it through some religious aspects and, you know, dumbing them down or whatever they're doing. But this whole communist thing boils up to a new world order strategy. That's what this is all about. They're using the communists and whatever else they can, Marxists, socialists, whatever they are, so that they can consolidate the power into the hands of a few people worldwide.
Well, and the way it works, too, is you go through and you see the way this plays out. You start with Marxism. So you have people like, I don't know, Obama that are sworn Marxists. They say they're Marxists. When you look it up, it says he's a Marxist by his own volition.
Well, he said is there a smidgen of Marxism there?
Well, it's just like how Antifa will be quite happy in hell because it's just mostly peaceful but fiery protests.
Well, exactly. while their leaders, I mean, you got the useful idiots out there that are just mad at everything. I mean, they're, you know, you tell them what to do, they march in line, lockstep. You know, the guys that say that we're the fascists, which means that everybody thinks exactly the same, are the same guys that are thinking exactly the same by whatever they're told to think by the leadership, which is, you know, admitted Marxists.
Mm-hmm. Well, and how about this? This is an article, July 23rd, 2019, on AmericanMagazine.org, The Catholic Case for Communism. Interestingly enough.
Kind of how, weird how it all just kind of fits together, huh?
Yeah, and how's about why we don't see any of the media actually covering the stories as they could be? You literally have a kid that defends himself that they're calling a murderer. You have people on Facebook that Mark Zuckerberg declares Kyle Rittenhouse, before even a jury has the chance to go through his case, declares him a mass murderer and says he'll take off anything that defends him. That's interesting. Mm. How about this? You're speaking of George Soros, we had a recent thing that came through. This is michaelsavage.com. Democrats' war game for election includes West Coast secession, possible civil war. Democrats are contemplating secession and potentially civil war when they game out possible scenarios for closely contested election, according to a report by Ben Smith in New York Times. Well, you had over 50 people, organizations of Democrats that came together and war gamed, and they actually resulted in civil war in every case except for a Joe Biden landslide.
That's the big danger right there. You just said it. Yeah.
Yep.
Because if nobody's going to accept this election, whether it's the Democrats or the Republicans, if the Republicans wins, the Democrats are surely not going to accept it. They're going to try to say that it's fixed when they're the ones that tried to fix it. And if the Democrats win, we all know it's fixed.
Well, and what we're seeing right now, what's actually taking place, is that we have all of these cases of changing our elections, changing our system that's worked all this time. You want to change it 2 months before we have an election and change it by 40 pages of law?
Yeah.
One page of law can have profound impact on your life, but when you look at all the changes they want to put in, last-minute changes, which are going to muck up the system, the whole mail-in voting thing, there are votes in places that where they've done mail-in voting, they still don't have a count from August, and they don't know if they're ever going to have a sufficient count.
Oh, come on, there's no problem with the mail-in votes.
Over 20% of the ballots that are sent in, if your signature doesn't match, it gets tossed out. Now we're hearing that you need to bring your mail-in ballot when you go to vote, and if you don't, you're going to be turned away because you can't have a mail-in ballot out there. And I get that, but by the same token, you're also going to have people showing up to vote that don't have that ballot or lost their ballot and threw it away thinking, hey, I'm going to go in and vote.
I think that the Democrats know they can't win a legitimate election. That's what this is all about. They know they can't win. I'm looking at a Pennsylvania, and I haven't verified this, but it looks like it's a screenshot, and it's Pennsylvania change in registered voters since November 2016. Democrats minus 91,000, Republicans 75,000 plus, and independents 42,000 plus. The swing is overwhelmingly going back to the conservative side because they got nothing. The Democrats have got nothing but orange man's bad. And so there's no way they can win this election except by cheating. And I think they know it. They're starting to admit it. I mean, that's why they're starting to change, you know, Don Lemon. Oh, gee, we got to stop this because look at the polls in our groups. You know, so they can't win legitimately, and that's what this is all about. And that's why they have to make these changes. And they're desperate. I think there's desperation going on here because if they don't win, they know that the worm is going to turn and the guns are going to be coming to bear on them specifically.
Well, and right now we're finally ended up seeing some of the law enforcement capabilities that are being taken out and going and making affecting change because we have California Black Lives Matter leader charged with 5 felonies,
right.
Faces 15 years in prison. Now, I had been saying this for a long time that when you are blocking the roads, you're blocking traffic, you are, in essence, keeping somebody there unlawfully because you are holding them against their will.
Right.
Well, and I think behind the scenes, from what I've seen the reports of, that the Department of Justice isn't doing nothing. They have been arresting these guys behind the scenes big time, whether it's Seattle, Portland. See, they got these guys all on tape. They got face recognition software. They're going in after the facts into where they're finding them, where they're hiding out, their homes and whatever, and they're arresting them. The last count I had was like 300 or 400 of these guys have been arrested. So,
there's a lot of that going on that's not being reported, or it's hard to find the information about what's going on. In several factors with the DOJ.
I think our Justice Department is really doing something in this particular area. Let's hope they're doing some things in some other areas.
Well, with the DHS and also the DOJ, there's been some disturbing articles that came out recently, and they go through and they talk about what the greatest danger is within this country. And what's sad is it appears that they're doing exactly what they did to Kyle Rittenhouse. We have no formal accusations that could even possibly stick to Kyle Rittenhouse as being a white supremacist.
Right.
But what we have from DHS in a leaked document that came out recently is their biggest fear of domestic terrorism is white nationalists that are going to be going out there and protecting the country. And really what they're saying is that their biggest fear is the militias are going to step in and say, we're not having this anymore.
Well, and this is the deep state that you're talking about. There's still in there. One just resigned from Durham's investigation into the Mueller probe like 2 days ago.
Well, and did you see on the Mueller probe, they had all kinds of cell phones that mistakenly got wiped.
That's, See, that's obstruction of justice.
Flipping Hillary all over again.
Yeah. So we have to, we're going to be at the top of the hour.
Yep, we
will have a special guest on here in the second segment, the second half of the Sovereign Mind Radio
here. We will.
Patrick Henry Jones is
running
here.
Running for District 4.
Running for District 4 against Steve Morgan, and we're going to talk about
we're
going to
talk about all of that. So stay tuned for the second half of Sovereign Minds. Oh, we got 1 minute?
Yeah,
we still got a minute.
So,
and we'll be covering a lot of different subjects in the next hour. We'll be moving fast. Like sounds the first good. Hour.
When is it never not moving yeah. fast? You know, so, I mean, good that. Grief.
So get ready with your questions if you have any for the candidate on the next hour.
And I still wanted to talk about Joe Biden and his new gaffes, but, you know.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, man.
It's like this guy can't even walk 30 feet without being supported now.
What
you
do
know?
You want to bet he's going to catch corona right around
I'm
the same time he has
you,
to do
I
debates?
I mean, you're starting to see IV marks in the top of his hands if you look close. I mean,
did they have a puppet that's another look for Joe Biden? So what if they put him in place, you know, like a Muppet?
Well,
you know, but
they don't need a puppet. If Kamala is not legally available to get to be president, we get Nancy Pelosi.
Yay! And with that, stay tuned for the second half of Sovereign Minds. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
From Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center. The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Dr. Farrell in Palisadro is now making dental work more affordable by offering a Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership. The Dental Discount Savings Plan is simple, straightforward, and includes 20% off all treatment, such as emergency limited exams, restorative work, fillings, crowns, partials, bridges, dentures, and periodontal treatment, a comprehensive exam, oral cancer screening, a TMJ exam, a periodic exam, and two sets of x-rays, along with cleaning and two fluoride treatments. The program is a discount plan, not a dental insurance plan, and is only available at the office of Dr. Farrell. The Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership provides immediate eligibility. No yearly maximum, no deductibles, no claims to submit, no limitations for pre-existing treatment, and no waiting periods. Children on the plan must be 15 years or younger. Some restrictions apply. Membership prices may vary. Contact Dr. Farrell, located at 9461 Deschutes Road, Suite 2 in Palisadro. Call 547-57 to make an appointment today. That's 547-5757.
Remember when I was young and so were you, and time stood still, and love was all we knew. You were the first, so was I, who made love and then you cried. Remember when?
I wanted to play this because we don't want to forget about 9/11, you know, and that song always reminds me of 9/11. And, you know, what happened changed our world. I mean, from 2001, I believe it was 2001.
Yep, 19 years ago.
I mean, you think about that. It's like 20 years ago. I remember exactly where I was at that day.
I think most of us do.
I do, too. I was just a kid at the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was watching cartoons when it came over the cartoons, and I remember seeing the towers come down and seeing all of it there and just being in shock and not really understanding what it all meant.
Yeah, who knew?
I think we all were in shock. I know where I was doing what I was doing. It's like, am I really watching this?
We're looking at a plane flies into a building, and then that was shocking enough, and then a little while later, another plane flies into the building. It's like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah,
I mean, that was the deal. But
what was beautiful about it, too, though, is afterwards we came together,
right,
regardless of any of our differences, regardless Republican, Democrat, we came together as a nation, and we saw some of the most unity we've had in our nation in the past 40 years before that, and now look where we are now.
Well, even during that, during 9/11 itself, people were helping one another during the crisis.
With that said, we have our guest in the studio with us, Patrick Henry Jones, who's running for supervisor, board of supervisors.
District 4.
I'll tell you what. How are you doing this morning, Patrick?
Hey, great. Thank you guys for having me on. I appreciate the opportunity.
Very good. Well, where should we start? I mean,
well, first of all, let's start. I had this set up to be a debate, and Steve Morgan declined to accept that invitation, and I'll just kind of leave it at.
And work. So I'm a little bit used to that. I ran for assembly not too long ago, and we had kind of the similar events play out then, where people didn't want to debate me, and which is really unfortunate because it's really the best way for the public to size up candidates and to vet, and so they miss that that process, and so it's really unfortunate for the public not to be able to do that. So
kind of like. I don't know, Joe Biden? I mean, seriously, why would you avoid a debate to show the people who you really are? Why would you avoid a debate if you know the issues, if you have a strong stance and on your principles of what you're running for and what you are purporting to do when you get there? I don't understand.
Yeah, I don't either, but, I've always looked forward to them. To me, it's a great opportunity to show the folks that you have details because you were there. And you went to the meetings and you stayed active and engaged, and so it's a missed opportunity. But I guess I'll start a little bit about how I started life. So our family was from Long Beach, and in 1967 my dad bought a brand new Chevy truck and got on I-5.
Wow.
And started driving. He had three kids at the time. I was not born yet. And he wanted to get his kids out of Long Beach area. And so we drove on I-5 as far as he could. He had to get off at Red Bluff because it wasn't finished yet. He got on 299, eventually got on Lake Boulevard, and eventually got up to Shasta Dam. And he said, this is it. And he turned right around and drove all the way home and told my mom, let's move.
That's an amazing story. I didn't know that before.
And she said, hey, I got some good news for you. And my dad says, well, I've got good news. We're going to be moving. And she goes, well, I'm pregnant. And so she was pregnant with me. So they waited a year before they moved. So we came up in 69 to Lake Boulevard to be close to Shasta Dam. And so I grew up for my first few years in Central Valley, California. And
another factoid I didn't know.
Didn't know that. Yeah. And so Toyon Indians were pretty tough. I learned how to fight, and I usually lost. But, it was a different time.
You still got back up. And it wasn't a matter of getting ganged over by five guys either, was it?
Well, it was a different time, and it was a tough time for the Indians in those years. They weren't having much success with the government, and today it's better for them, and I'm sure we'll talk about some of those issues further on. But we moved into Redding shortly thereafter, and I've been working at the shop, Jones's Fort Gun Shop, my entire life. My dad asked me if I'd like to go to work with him at the age of four instead of staying home with mom, and I said sure. And so I got to sweep floors, and after a while I didn't really like sweeping floors, but it was a job and it needed to be done, and so I would do it after school. So when I was five, I started going to kindergarten, and then after kindergarten the bus would just drop me off at the shop, and I'd work for the remainder of the day and go home with my dad. And I did that my whole entire life.
Your family had several businesses, didn't they, that they also got involved in?
Yeah, and so most people also don't know that we had a shoe repair shop for a long time, and so I grew up mostly in the shoe shop, and I'm a shoe repairman, and I was an orthopedic technician. I put myself through college in Sacramento being an orthopedics technician, and of course I'm very passionate about the gun world too. And so we've done a few things over time. And,
so I guess that puts to bed the fact that you're a business owner, because are you still a business owner?
I am. What most people, I think, know is that I'm the producer and owner of the Redding Gun Show, which we hold, one to two times a year. I'm also the owner of High Plains Shooting Sports Center, which is under construction, and I'm working on that and hopefully opening that up next year. And then I manage Jones's Fort. So while I don't own Jones's Fort, I certainly do own and operate other things.
Well, I guess the part about it being Jones's Fort has a little bit of indicator that you might have something to say.
And they might be related to a few people in there.
And unfortunately, my opponent has made a false accusation to the FPPC, and they will comment on this shortly. And it's unfortunate that he's done so, because it's something that isn't important to the issues that are affecting District 4 and to the residents of Shasta County. And so he's trying to do something to sidetrack real issues. And we have some real issues in the county that need to be talked about, not these other things that are not important. And so once again, another misstep from my opponent. The public is tired of the normal government that we see at the Shasta County level. They are upset, and they're unhappy, and they want change, and I believe change is coming.
What do you see as the most important issue in Shasta County right now?
Well, obviously, getting back open, completely back open right now. This entire Board of Supervisors has failed Shasta County residents by listening to the governor, bowing down to the governor, and shutting our businesses down. Some, as you know, will not open up, and others have just simply been hurt greatly. And they needed to stay open. They needed to resist trying to dangle a little bit of money over here that the county might get. They should have listened to the public. And not only were they not listening to the public, but they then started to keep the public out of even the meetings. And so we have to stand out in front of the building in 100-degree weather. We can't hear anything on the small speaker because of construction across the street at the courthouse. And so clearly they didn't even want to hear from us.
Isn't that a criminal violation? Not listening to the or having meetings for the public to speak?
Well, you're supposed to have public meetings, and it is a requirement of the law, and they have failed to do so. And then in the last couple weeks, they've just not held meetings at all. And they just not only are they not going to hear to us, they're not even going to have a public meeting. So at this point, I'm not sure if we have county officials representing us or not.
And the science doesn't support the COVID virus pandemic's draconian policies on what they're doing with the businesses and shutting them down and, you know, letting the restaurants open at 25%. It seems to me that statewide the governor has lost control of the narrative.
Well, the governor had guidelines, and the county could have said thank you very much for those guidelines. However, in Shasta County, we're going to remain open and support our businesses, which is the lifeblood of the county, and the county cannot be successful if our businesses are not successful.
Which they have done, by the way, in Placer County. They 5-0, they opened up the whole county for businesses completely.
It's not law. It's just
it's a suggestion, basically. Yeah,
a guideline.
So I guess
we
have a caller.
We got a caller on the line. We've got Bob. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Linda and Mark and Patrick Jones. Look, I was listening to the radio program with Steve Morgan the other day, and they finally allowed two callers. As soon as anybody said anything about having a debate between Patrick Jones and Steve Morgan, they got a little teed off. Now, I was waiting. I was the third caller. And they told me they would not take any more calls because he was very upset about the questions they were asking him. Now, he wanted to be on there about 9/11, which I think 9/11 is extremely important to American history and everything that went on. But what's more important today? Shasta County and what's happening here in Shasta County for 9/11 that happened 19 years ago. I'll take my answer off the air.
All right,
you
thanks
guys,
for calling
thank
in, Bob.
You
we
and
appreciate it.
Patrick, thanks for doing a great job.
Well, thanks, Bob, and thanks for calling in. Bob's been a good listener, and he's been informed. I see him at a lot of different meetings over the years, and not just one or two years, but a lot of years. So he has certainly been paying attention. And, when you're an elected official, people should have the ability to ask you a question, and you should not be afraid to answer it on air or off air. And I think we have a problem with this particular incumbent in that he's trying to avoid tough questions. And the public is upset right now. They have a right to be upset. They're going to be a little bit angry because of what the board has done. And you have to answer to those questions. If you can't, you might find yourself out of office. And
well, what the board has done or not done, you know, I mean, what they should be doing is opening up the county so the businesses can completely get back to work, because we're going to have some problems. I mean, you know, you can't operate a restaurant at 20% capacity and expect to continue to make it. So.
And with that, we've got another caller on the line. Good morning, Sally. You there, Sal?
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning.
You're
what you got
air.
For us?
Yeah, I just wanted to get Patrick's take on the fact that Placer County on Tuesday, September 8th, voted 5-0 to end the local emergency, state of emergency orders from the governor. And after that, their county health official resigned, which was interesting. But, you know, Placer County has a much larger population than Shasta County, and they were at the red level, whereas Shasta County is at a moderate level. So they were a step above us in, you know, COVID. So, Patrick, what do you think about that? You want to comment on that?
Yeah, thanks, Sally. That's a great question. And, of course, I would support that. But they still failed to do their job. They needed to do that back in March or April. To protect their residents. So what's happened is, you know, for the last 6 months, you can't shut down businesses for 6 months and expect them to survive. They can't. You know, we work on pretty tight margins. I know, you know, every year we just wonder if we can make another year in the state of California. And so while they did finally act, they were only 6 months late. Our county hasn't acted at all, and in fact, they have bowed down to the governor, and they're showing no signs right now of even acting. And so I think it's probably incumbent to the businesses to just simply open up, and it's time to open Shasta County.
Well, if they refuse to do it, aren't they perpetrating fraud? Because their whole reason for the emergency was because we didn't want to overwhelm our services, and obviously that never happened. So. Right. To continue on with something that never existed, it seems to me that that is a fraud being perpetrated on the citizens.
I would agree. And we just simply here in Shasta County do not have the same issues that other counties might have. And our board should have been highly aware of that and simply opened up this county and not bowing down to the governor. Writing a letter to the governor is going to do nothing. They have the ability and the power to open up this county. They have failed to do so. I think all the incumbents in a very short time will be voted out of office over this one single issue.
Wow. Well, and then if they're waiting for state or federal money as a reason for not opening, that is also a fraud being perpetrated on the citizens.
I agree. I agree very much so, Sally.
All right. Thank you, Pat.
All right. Thanks for calling in, Sally. With that, we need to go to a break. If you have a question or comment, give us a call at 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
To pretend he wasn't drinking again. Daddy left the proof on her cheek. I was only 8 years old that summer, and I always seemed to be in the way. So I took myself down to the fair in town on Independence Day.
Paid for by Yes on 22. Save app-based jobs and services. A coalition of on-demand drivers and platforms, small businesses, public safety, and community organizations. Committee major funding from Lyft and Uber Technologies.
Times are tough. A pandemic. Historic unemployment.
So what do Sacramento politicians do? Pass a new law trying to make it illegal for rideshare and food delivery drivers to work as independent contractors.
Politicians are taking away drivers' right to work how they want, putting hundreds of thousands of drivers out of work, and threatening to shut down rideshare and delivery services.
At the worst possible time.
That's why we need Prop 22. Yes on 22 protects drivers' right to work as independent contractors, saving hundreds of thousands of jobs.
Yes on 22 is supported by the overwhelming majority of drivers by a 4-to-1 margin.
And by the California Small Business Association and the California Peace Officers Association.
They all urge you to vote yes on 22 to save app-based jobs and services.
I like a bed that's really firm.
I need something a little softer than that.
Rest easy. With the Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed, you can both adjust your comfort with your sleep number setting.
Can it really help me fall asleep faster?
Yes, by gently warming your feet.
Okay, but can it help keep us asleep?
It senses your movement and automatically adjusts to keep you effortlessly comfortable. Sleep Number, proven quality sleep, is life-changing sleep. It's our biggest sale of the year where all beds are on sale. Save 50% on the Sleep Number 360 Limited Edition Smart Bed. Only for a limited time. To learn more, go to sleepnumber.com.
These are unprecedented times. Challenging how the YMCA works to strengthen community as we have for nearly 170 years. But we've always found ways to help people and communities in times of crisis. Right now, Y's across the country are providing emergency childcare, shelter, food programs, and outreach to seniors. But we can't do it alone. Whether you're connected to the Y or have a fond Y memory, we need you to stay with us. Reach out to your local Y today and stay with us for a better us.
Just having a cup to pass the time. Swapping rodeo stories with this old cowboy friend of mine. When some motorcycle riders started snickering in the back, he started poking fun at my friend's hat. And one old boy said, "Hey, Tex, where'd you park your horse?" A friend just pulled his hat down low, but they couldn't be ignored. One husky fella said, "I think I'll rip that hat right off your head." That's when my friend turned around, and this is what he said. Ride a black tornado across the western sky. Rope an old blue norther and milk it till it's dry. Bulldog the Mississippi and its ears down flat. Long before you take this cowboy's hat.
Yeah, that was for you,
Pat. Well, I can ride. I'm not sure if I can rope too good, so I'll have to work on that.
All right,
we got several questions. I think David had the next question that you wanted to ask Patrick about taxes.
Yeah, so one of the questions that I wanted to ask you on was that you have all of these businesses which are foreclosed by the county. You have these businesses which their property taxes, they still have to be paid. You have these businesses which their rents, they all still have to be paid. What's your plan of attack on this, and how are you going to end up handling some of these things?
Right. So, well, hopefully by the time I get in, we can end all of this. But the reality is if you're forcing a business to close, then should they be paying the taxes that they currently are, income tax, property tax? And, again, if that were the case, if they didn't have to pay those taxes being forced to shut down, do you think it would change the Board of Supervisors' minds? By not receiving money into the county, I think it would.
I mean, you see what some of these Board of Supervisors are doing. They close down the public pools. They close down the aquatic systems, and they close down the gyms, with the exception of their gyms, their aquatic systems, and their places.
Getting paid. Let's remove their pay. You know, if they're not going to have real public meetings, let's cut their pay. Do you think they would want to get back open if they weren't getting paid? I think so. And so it's really a sad deal where these guys are still getting paid. It's unaffecting them, but it's affecting so many different businesses, people's families, and lives. And some of these folks, you know, they're going to be leaving California now over this, and they'll never going to return.
Well,
and
I know personally a lot of business owners that have closed. I know that just look at Best Little Sandwich Shop. He had three locations between here and Anderson. They're all gone.
Right.
And what about the people that have been paying property taxes this whole time, too, as far as for schools and services? I mean, they shut down the schools. I mean, should they get rebated or some kind of an adjustment? Because the whole premise of paying a tax is to get a service.
Well, and I was, you know, to be frank, I was a little disappointed with the sheriff for not standing up for the businesses as well. He is the top law enforcement officer of the county. He could have declared all of our businesses essential and put up a stand. And these elected officials, we've got to start holding them accountable to what the people want here in Shasta County. And we're not doing that. But I'm seeing things today that gives me hope. I'm seeing people motivated. I'm seeing chat rooms come alive. I see sites that have, you know, 6,000, 7,000, 10,000 comments. People are starting to take note, and I think change is coming.
You know, and I'm just going to recap. I've got this in front of me, the Shasta County deaths from 2017, 18, 19, and 20, from January to July. In 2017, it was 1,536, 2018, 1,467, 2019, 1,407, and 2020, 1,444. So when you look at the actual deaths, this whole thing is nothing but a sham. I mean, there is no pandemic that's overwhelming services.
Well, and you wonder when they say, if you're going to wear a mask, it's not going to stop these smoke particles that we're experiencing, but yet it will
stop the virus.
The virus, which is a much smaller particle, and that's not making any sense at all. So I think we've been lied to. I think the county has done a great job pushing this political agenda that we've seen nationwide. They've fallen prey to it. They needed to resist it, and the board should have stood up to it. This is highly politically motivated. We know why. They're trying to destroy the economy for this upcoming election because it'll hurt the President of the United States. That's why they're doing it, and our board has failed us, every single one of them.
And with that, we do have a caller on the line. We've got Terry. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning, everybody. Hey, Patrick. Thanks again for everything you do for the community, my friend.
Thank you.
You know, one thing that really kind of bothered me was on Friday, Steve Morgan was on Carl's program. And in listening to that, there were a couple of questions that were asked because Carl had made the statement that the first half hour would be dedicated to 9/11. And I'm not sure why Steve Morgan was invited on there. There was a fireman. I'm still not sure why he was basically almost a co-host. And the thing that bothered me was after the first half hour when Carl said he'd take questions, he took two questions, and then they went to a break, and he said, we're not taking questions anymore. So I guess I'm wondering whether Carl was pressured by Morgan by saying, I don't want to answer any questions, and I won't stay here if I have to answer any questions. And if that's the case, that needs to be brought out to the public. That's nothing short of despicable, I think.
Well, Christmas for Christmas this year, I'm going to get Carl a softball.
Yeah, you may want to do it before then. But, you know, I think that maybe there had to have been some pressure when you have a radio host that says, by gosh, by golly, in the next half hour we're going to take Q&A here. Why would you have somebody who is an elected official running for office on your program for 9/11 who wasn't even there? I mean, granted, there was a tragedy that happened to him the day before, but his reason for being there is that he put on a happy face and went to some sort of celebration the next day. I mean, how do people expect us to swallow that stuff?
Well,
that's the amazing part about this, and I don't think we are.
You know, and 9/11 is such a day that we'll never forget.
Yes, sir.
And to be honest, when I first started running in politics in 2002, that was the second year anniversary of 9/11, and they held a debate on 9/11. And I refused to speak that day. I said, you know what, this isn't the day to debate issues. We have many other days to do that, and let's focus today on what 9/11 means. And so why they did it on 9/11 in the first place, I don't know. I think having the firefighter there was certainly appropriate, talking about the loss in New York City and elsewhere. But having a politician on 9/11, I think, is inappropriate. You know, hopefully he comes back on for a full hour and proper questions can be asked so that he can answer them. The incumbent has been there for 4 years, so he should have some information by now, we would think. So hopefully that occurs. And hopefully, you know, we have some real debates. You know, back years ago in a process like this, over a two-month period, we'd have six or seven debates and really allow the public to see the differences. And now we're not even having any, you know. And so it's a great disservice to the public. They are not being able to see the differences with the candidates firsthand, not on a flyer or a mailer or your TV or radio ads or any of that stuff, but firsthand. And they're getting ripped, essentially, and they're being bypassed of this process. And, you know, and I appreciate organizations like this where they have called for debate, but he has failed to show. So all we can do is try. But if a candidate is not willing to debate, that means he is unprepared. And in my opinion, he shouldn't be in office.
And it's worse than that. And the reason it's worse than that is when Carl asked him to come back on the radio program saying he'd clear his schedule, he couldn't get a commitment on Morgan. And then he asked Morgan if he'd come back next week, and Morgan basically told him no, that basically he isn't going to come back. Now, my question is why was he let off the hook at that point? I mean, why don't you just, you know, the thing is that he never said he'd come back. He said he most likely won't debate. He won't debate, basically.
No, he won't.
He won't, you know, and,
well,
you know,
I think Terry,
the bottom line to all this is that, you know, you're really right about the sheriff, number one. You're right about that. Yesterday we had the Cottonwood We Back the Blue cruise. Hundreds and hundreds of people, old cars, everybody out there having a good time. I think there was three people in the whole area that wore a mask. The whole town of Cottonwood. The sheriff was there wearing a Trump hat and no mask. Now, he needs to stand up, like you're saying, and I think that there needs to be pressure put on. And believe me, there is a declaration coming from the citizens of Shasta County to the Board of Supervisors, and that will be happening within the next couple of weeks.
Well, I appreciate the good comments, Terry, and thank you for all that you've done. I know for so many years you've been out there pushing hard for the people of this county and for various cities within, and I wanted to thank you for what you've done.
Thank you, brother. Good luck to you, and you know that Sal and I are always behind you, my brother.
Thank you.
And I just want to say it's very hard because I do a lot of the scheduling. It's very hard to set up debates with anybody. Is not just Steve Morgan, but there's been several of them, Dally's one, not to mention names, that will say they'll debate, and they're all for it until I go to set up the time and the date, and then they all back out. And that's another true. Thing they all want is questions prior to their interview or debate, which I never do. So I just want to put that out there. A lot of people do not realize that. And with that, we have to go to a break. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
Brother was 10. When July day came running in, seen a Ferris wheel at the edge of town. So, of course, we headed on down. Well, it took us an hour to walk that far, carrying our fortune in a mason jar. It was all pretty sad, a cheap county fair, with a few old rides, but there was ponies there. Well, the ponies stunk and the air was still in that dusty circle behind the Ferris wheel. This old guy smelling a smoking rum swung me up and set me down on one. Well, I'd never rode a horse, but I'd seen it done. Cowboy movies made it look like fun. This old man whispered a few soft words. It was the best advice I ever heard.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
This is Reading Electric Utility Director Dan Beans. REU is proud to be part of the economic relief to our customers during this difficult time. All REU customers are receiving $250 in credits on their City of Reading utility accounts. In the near future, commercial customers will have the ability to make monthly payments on their outstanding utility account balance for up to 24 months with no interest. REU and the Chamber of Commerce are proud to work together to assist commercial customers as we move forward. Visit readingchamber.com or cityofreading.org for more information or questions related to this important local effort.
1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Robert Mind Radio, home of the Free Fire Media Community Radio for the North State. And our guest today is Patrick Henry Jones. And let's talk about money.
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 That's always a question people are asking. Who's got what money and where is it coming from?
So so I'll tell a little story. I like stories. And so, you know, these races do cost a bit of money. And I had planned on raising around $100,000 to have a successful campaign. And that is about what you have to do for a supervisor position today that's going to be contested. It was going to be a little difficult because I couldn't do my normal sit-down banquets because of what was happening and not allowing to be able to do so. So I started calling around to see what kind of donations that I could acquire. Now, the first place I went was to the Redding Rancheria, one of the first places, because they have always supported me, and I support their project and the relocation of the casino to I-5. And they graciously gave me $20,000, which was a big chunk. And at that time, that was the largest single campaign contribution in Shasta County's history at that moment. Now, the very next day, I talked to my other very good friend, Roberge Anselmo, and I told him that the Rancheria was got me a pretty good chunk of money. And he goes, "How much?" And I said, $20,000. And he said, "I can do better than that. Here's $100,000.
Wow.
And my exact words were, "Awesome." And and so with that, now I have plenty of money for TV, radio ads, electronic, digital mailings, all the things that I had intended to do. And we have good people, Jen Mita over at Go to Print, Chris Agua at Media Plus, working hard, getting my information out, different topics and issues that are important to the people of the county. Now, it brings us to another issue. Because I am supported by the Redding Rancheria and their relocation, there is a group or groups out there that do not support that. And so then this race becomes, it takes on a different meaning now because these other groups want to try to stop the relocation of the Redding Rancheria to I-5. And there's some folks there, one person particularly, Red Emerson from Sierra Pacific, that never opposed it years before. When I talked to him in 2010, he had no interest in acquiring any of the land. He lives down there, by the way, on the river. He had no opposition, but fast forward to the third wife, and we have a different situation today, and so now pieces of land are being bought as spite strips, and we have seen this before to stop the Redding Rancheria from relocating. So it's getting kind of messy there, unfortunately, and to be honest, it's kind of surprising why they're not supporting this relocation. This is a good project. It's going to put a lot of people to work. The Rancheria has given millions of dollars. I sat on the gaming committee giving back millions of dollars to the city, to the county, special districts. And so I'm a little floored that they don't have what it seems to be the kind of support that I think they should.
And did the city, like, overstep themselves when they allowed the sale of that, would you call it, strip?
Correct. And unfortunately, you know, one of the last measures when you have a disagreement is a lawsuit. And the Redding Rancheria is forced to essentially do that. There is a piece of land that would access this new project, and the city sold it. And it most likely will be an illegal transaction. The way and the process that they did it, it will play out in court. But it's not the only piece of property that is essentially a spite strip. And, and so when there are interests trying to stop something that certainly have the money to do so, then lots of things happen. And it's unfortunate. It's very unfortunate, but it'll all play out in court on that particular piece of property. And it's really shameful for the city council members that supported that, because that was clearly a spite strip. That is not what we do to our friends and our family, members of a city or a county. And that's what they did. It shows very poorly upon them.
I mean, what is going to support this county if, you know, 50% of the people leave, 50% of the businesses are better out of business, you won't let anybody start any businesses? I mean, where does
and
it get this
huge lawsuit?
What do you think is going to happen to the revenue if it hasn't happened already? That's why they're so ready to get this money from the governor to do whatever they're told, because they know that they can see this imploding. If we have a stock market drop, we've got the pensions in this thing. I mean, this thing, we have a recipe for disaster here.
Yeah, we haven't even really talked about pensions. My opponent apparently is unaware that the county today owes $534 million in underfunded pension payments. Now, what that equates to is roughly around $20 million, roughly, escalating even higher for the next 20 years. And that actuarial that shows the $534 million underfunded, that's if everything goes as planned, and you know they won't.
And yeah. And on top of that, I just checked with because this has been a little pet project of mine, this whole pension thing, is that now they're down to 60% funded at CalPERS themselves.
Correct.
And that's
and they're taking a loan out to try to cover those costs.
Oh, my gosh.
Can you imagine how bad this is going to turn out? But the problem here is the taxpayers are having to foot the bill, and they should be very upset that they're losing $20 to $25 million a year out of the county that should be going to services for you, the taxpayer, and it's not.
Well, taxes are going to be raised. I mean, that's really what we're talking about.
We do have a caller on the line. Didn't want to interrupt, but we do have Drew on the line. You got a question or a comment for our guest? Drew, you there? You there, Drew?
Well, that's it. We'll
move
on.
Yes, I am.
Okay,
all right, got a question?
Yes. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, Mr. Jones, what is your thought on declaring Shasta County a Second Amendment sanctuary like they have done in some of the states back east and specifically Virginia? I'll take my answer off the air.
All right, thanks for calling.
Thank you. And, of course, growing up in the firearm industry, the Second Amendment is very important to me. It's playing out right now in the United States as probably one of the most important issues. The right of the people to keep and bear arms has got to be protected. So recently, and I was at that board meeting, the California Rifle and Pistol Association stepped up, and they submitted to the Shasta County Board of Supervisors a resolution of support for the Second Amendment. As of today, not a single board member has put that resolution forward for a vote, not one. They won't even support the Constitution of the United States and specifically the Bill of Rights and the Second Amendment. What a shame. It would be a great opportunity to show that we care about the Second Amendment, and a resolution doesn't cost a thing. It doesn't cost taxpayers anything.
I have an idea. Let's write a very strong letter to Governor Newsom.
Yeah, that'll work well.
Well, I have a couple strong questions that might be curveballs to you, but one of them, our city has been so mismanaged in their funds, and one of the things that I'm still very concerned about that doesn't get a lot of media attention is the industrial park that they built.
Yes.
When we already had an industrial park that wasn't even at capacity, they built another one to the tune of millions of dollars, and now they're planning on selling it off, last I heard, down to some outfit down south for a portion of what they ended up building it for. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so Stillwater, so I was there during all those years, and I did incorrectly support the first bond for Stillwater, and I voted yes on that. I was new to council. It was a $10 million bond. That night when I voted yes on it, when I went home that evening, I was sick to my stomach. Immediately in the morning, I called City Manager Kurt Starman and said I made a mistake on that vote. This is the wrong use of public funds. Business parks are what private sector people do. Not City of Reading. It's a misuse of public funds, and my vote was incorrect. If I could take it back, I would. I said I will be vocally in opposition of this project from now on. They tried to convince me otherwise. They could not. I voted 18 to 19 times more to try to stop it and never could. So we've wasted your tax dollars to the tune of $60 million. You're not going to get that back. You're going to get a small portion of that back, maybe. It's just another example of government not understanding the private sector and mm-hmm. failing miserably. $60 million. What could we have done with that? Your money.
Well, and this leads back to the Rancheria, and one of the reasons why I wanted to bring that up is we actively have people within our city right now which are hindering business. They're hindering business at every step with the way that you have to add on buildings with permits and things of that nature to the tune of $20,000 to add a new building, even though it doesn't have anything in it. You got to put power in it and all the rest of it, even though it's a storage facility.
Well, I've been fighting against it, and I proved when I served on the Reading City Council that when you reduce impact fees, you spur immediate growth. And we did that for a short time, and I couldn't get council support. But I can tell you, folks, there is a storm brewing, and it's off in the distance, but it's coming, and it's coming our way. Shasta County residents will no longer put up with the type of government that we see, a government that is not working for the people. And, in fact, it is putting people down. It is controlling you. My good friend, Reverge Anselmo, who gave me $100,000, came here with one intent, to spare no expense and build the finest restaurant and winery. And the resource manager and the county plagued him for many years. They fought him at every step, and all he was doing was the finest construction, and they eventually pushed him out of this town. He is not the only one. There were other people even far wealthier than that that left this county because of what this county government has done. It's wrong, it's corrupt, it's rotten, and it's going to get fixed.
Good.
Wow.
We're almost to break time, so we got about 1 minute.
The question I want to ask is, who's backing Steve Morgan?
I don't know.
We're not sure.
Does anybody know?
He has received some monies from some of the union.
Absolutely. Actually, if you take a look at some of his endorsements, it's mostly union. So he's been saying yes along with the other board of supervisors. So you're going to see the sheriff backing him up. You're going to see the district attorney backing him up. You're going to see most of the union organizations, and there are plenty backing him up. The question is, though, will the public, the taxpayer, back him up? And in the primary, on a 2-to-1 vote, they said no. And come November 3rd, on a larger margin than that, they're going to say no.
Well, and I heard from a source who talked to him directly, and if Steve wants to refute this, he's welcome to call in or debate you or, you know, make the record clear somehow, that he doesn't support opening the county. He supports basically going along with the other members of the board in their current trajectory. I don't know. I mean, that's from a guy who talked to him directly from the horse's mouth.
All right. And with that, we'll go to a break. And, Richard, just hold the line, and we will get you on the other side. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
As Shasta County gradually reopens for business, we can all do our part to stop the spread of COVID-19 by wearing a mask when in public. Cloth face coverings help reduce the spread of germs by preventing the release of droplets when someone speaks, coughs, or sneezes. Wash your face covering often, ideally after each use or at least daily. Wash with detergent and hot water and dry on a hot cycle. Here is Shasta County Health Officer Dr. Karen Ramstrom.
Remember, wearing a face covering is not a replacement for physical distancing, frequent hand washing, and staying home when sick. Your mask protects me, and my mask protects you. Together, we can stop the spread.
For more information, including how to make your own cloth face covering, go to ShastaReady.org.
Dan there. You've been sort of having a little bit of a theme here today. just saying. Let's talk about Revers and Selmo and how people can thank him.
So he was such a larger than life person. His father was super successful, became a billionaire, great entrepreneur, and Revers has a bit of that in his blood as well, and he really made a lasting mark here in Shasta County. He came here. He could have gone anywhere in the world. He chose Shasta County because he liked the conservative people, and the county government pushes him away. What a sad deal. But he made a lot of friends when he was here. In fact, everywhere he goes, he makes a lot of friends. And if you have a comment that you would like to get to Revers and Selmo, you can email me, patrickhenry@live.com, and then I can forward those over to Mr. Anselmo. And he reads his emails every day.
All right. With that, we'll go to our caller. Good morning, Richard.
Oh, my gosh. Right at the end of the break, I heard a Karen Ramstrom voice. I thought my radio got hijacked. Hey, you know what? Our board of supervisors, they are so ignorant to economics. They are statists. They think the government takes care of everybody. But they are, again, ignorant to the fact that the tax base is what provides for the government finances. And it just amazes me. My 10-year-old son can tell you where the government gets its money from, but our board of supervisors cannot tell us that.
Trees,
they have
Rich,
all
trees.
Already...
It grows on trees, yeah, yeah, yeah. Rich, yeah.
And my comment on that, the only thing that I can think on that is that they're trying to pursue bigger offices, and they're trying to just make it through their terms so that they can go ahead and get the attaboy from the people that they're taking these bribery monies from to be able to close down our area. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that's what statists do. And then my last comment is, our board and the health officer and the county attorney, and I can go down the list, they have all earned their walking papers. They can open up everything fully tomorrow and say they're sorry. That's not good enough. They have all earned their walking papers. Thanks, folks. Great show.
All right. Thanks for calling in. We appreciate it, Richard.
Well, during the break, I said I really like this new word I've found called rotten, and that's what we have with the board. You know, unfortunately, most of the board members, I grew up here in Reading, and this is a tough place to make a living. You've got to work hard. I started working at a very young age, and 6 days a week. Today I work, 60 hours plus, 6 days a week, every day. You have to work hard to make it work here. People have bled, and they've dug dirt, they've moved mountains, and it's hard, and they risk everything every year. Unfortunately, the board has, they're disconnected with the average person and the problems that we face on a day-to-day basis. They don't get it. And now when I get elected, what it will say is the last 3 out of 4 incumbents at the board are gone. And that's a powerful statement. That's what's happening, is these guys are getting voted out. And in the past, board members would stay there for many, many years. That's not happening now. And the public is waking up to the fact that these guys are not wrecked. They work for us. Yep. They're here to help us. How many people feel that that is what's happening? Do you feel like your county board is working on your behalf? I've worked on a project for 10 years. Do you think the resource manager once would ever call me and ask me how my project is going and why it's taken so long? Not once. Well, that makes me a little mad, and there's a lot of us.
Right.
Kind of reverts us back to the feudal system a little bit, where there was the king, the nobles, and the serfs. I don't think we were high up on the ladder in their mind.
But before we get out of here, we're going to run out of time. We've got about 7 minutes. What about your contact information, how to get a hold of you, your email address again, and all that beautiful stuff?
So you can always, I have Facebook, and we're working on a web page right now. I kind of got a little late start on that, but that'll be running shortly. You can always email me at patrickhenry@live.com. You can always call me on my landline, because I work 6 days a week. That's the easiest way, and I also hate cell phones. And my landline is 222-3223, so you can always get a hold of me there. You can write me a letter and send it to me at 1600 East Cypress Avenue, 96002 here in Reading. And people do that all the time. I get calls every every day. People telling me about their stories and what's happened to them. And unfortunately, almost every day, but certainly every week, I have new people coming forward and they're leaving. They've sold their house and they're leaving. And we have to, at the county, we have to work double time. We know the problems at the state, and some of those problems we can't control, but we can control what happens at the county level. And we have to work double time to keep our residents here, and we're failing. We're failing to do that, but it's going to change. And I see that. I feel it. I know it's going to happen. And the public is going to make it happen because they deserve it. They deserve a government that is going to represent them and cares about them and tries to help them. And that is not what we're getting. And the arrogance of this current board is astonishing.
Well, we've covered a lot of ground. Is there anything that we haven't covered that you want to get out there?
Well, you know, I've me and my wife, my beautiful wife Lori, she goes with me everywhere on the campaign trail, and we've had a great time. We try to stay focused on the issues, and we're trying to stay engaged with the public to really listen to what's going on out there. I work every day, so I talk to a tremendous number of people, and so I'm really excited about this campaign. And also having a large amount of money, unfortunately, you know, it's sad. I wish we would all agree to a very small amount and no more, and let's just run on issues. Let's not let money rule the day, because in the past, I've been beaten many times by money. Mm-hmm. And while I have money this time, I would prefer to just let's debate. Let's have no money. Let's limit everybody to a small amount, and let's run on the issues, because that's what's important to the public. I can't get anybody to agree to that, so if you won't, then I'll raise some money and smoke you that way.
Well, and that's one thing that I'd actually like to see take place. If there is changes that you can make to make it to where you can't receive money right. from corporations or from lobbyists or otherwise within these independent places where you're running, and we need that within our communities, because as we saw with Bloomberg when he was going through, he was just throwing billions of dollars at it, and fortunately he didn't gain the attention that he needed to be able to supersede and just buy an election.
Right.
But you see these campaigns, and you can't compete against them when you're on a smaller scale in a smaller city.
Well, we've had some great candidates come forward and not be able to make it because of the money issue, and it certainly happened to me on many runs at the council level. And I would love to agree to like a small amount, like a $10,000 amount, no more, and then you would see many quality debates, because that's the only way to get real information, because you're not buying the airways. And that's the way it ought to be done. Of course, out of Sacramento, you see monster PACs spending $1 million on candidates, and nobody else can compete. And so the PACs rule what's happening at the state level and in our own district. And it's sad. The people deserve better than that. But you know what? Someday we might be able to change the rules at the county, get this thing limited to a very small amount of money, and let's debate on the issues.
I think the other missing element is informed voters out there that know what the issues are, and not sticking their head in the sand and just worrying about baseball and going to the lake and water skiing. And across the country, we're starting to see that, because, you know, human nature is that as long as it's not affecting you, then, you know, you tend to ignore problems.
If it's not directly.
Exactly. Yeah. But the more pressure that gets ramped up, the more we're starting to see the American spirit start to step up to the plate like it should have done, you know, a long time ago. And so there is a lot of hope in the country. We're seeing it across the board. The Americans are coming out of the woodwork to take their country back. And that's what it's going to take, in conjunction with electing good leaders who are going to have the best interest of the community and we the people in mind.
I agree. And I hope that people, you know, take a look at me and my opponent, and, you know, take a look at our experiences, take a look at the experiences that we've had in this county and the length of time that we've been in this county, and give me a call. I'm open to taking any call anytime. I'm open for any debate anytime. My slate is clean for the next 2 months to debate anybody anytime on any issue the way that it should be.
So I guess we have an open invitation to Steve Morgan at this
Once
point.
Once again, we'll send out the invitation again and see if we get anything back on it. So. Well, we appreciate you coming in, Patrick.
Thank you.
We
Thanks
got
for
about
the opportunity.
2 minutes. left in this? If somebody wants to help support you, what do they do? You got signs, you know, drop money off? What do they need to do?
To help, yeah.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. Again, you can get a hold of me and whatever, maybe just manning some phone banks, walking neighborhoods, whatever a person can do. If you can't do those things, monetary contributions are certainly appreciated as well. And even though I'm pretty good on money this year, you know, I've taught a lot of people have come forward, and I've told them, I said, you know, I've hit you up so many times, I'm pretty good on money. And so it's pretty rare to see somebody running for office not asking for money, but I'm pretty good shape, and I don't like asking. You know, when I see these guys, this is hard-earned money. When they give you $100, that means a lot.
Right.
You know, they had to work for that, and so I don't take it for granted. When they give me $50 or $100, and I don't like taking it if I don't have to, and right now I really don't have to. So,
but you have signs still and everything?
I appreciate it, and I do have signs.
I still have bumper stickers. They can put in the yard and help that way.
So I've heard also on the salary and the benefits from, you know, serving on the Board of Supervisors or Reading City Council that as you had before. What's your position on the money that you're receiving and the benefits?
Well, you know, when I was served on City Council, I turned down all the stuff, and I didn't want to be a part of something that I thought was wrong. And what I'm telling you right now is I'm going to turn down the CalPERS retirement. I'm not going to take it. I've been thinking about it quite a bit, and people have said you should take it. It's lucrative. But I don't want to be a part of a system that's failing, and it's failing the taxpayer, and I'm not going to do it.
Good.
All right. Very good. Well, you know, if you don't know the truth, you're ignorant. But if you know the truth and say nothing, you're evil. At what point in time are you going to wake up and exercise your rights? Remember, the BOS meeting is in, I think it's on the 15th.
On the 15th at 15th. 9 a.m.
Show up. Be there or be square. You're born an original. Don't die a copy. Remember, amateurs built the Ark. Professionals the Titanic. Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. It is force. And force like fire is a dangerous servant and for
master. And you've been listening to KCNR, 1460 a.m. and 96.5 FM. Have a great week.